Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:02 in the a.m. joining us right now, our baseball insider, Steve Molesky, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Rob and Ed, good morning.
Good morning to
you.
Good
morning, man.
Now, yesterday, Tony Mancino, interim manager of the Orioles, was quoted. He answered a question about Heston Kjerstad. He said, I'm not ready to share yet, but I will talk about it and figure out what we want to share with you guys, but nothing yet. That, to me, it scares me a little bit because it says we know something, but we can't talk to you about it yet. And it kind of makes me wonder the real nature of his injury, the fatigue.
Well, yeah, it was mysterious, and you know, or they're still fact finding. You know, they're not reached the goal line of whatever they're looking into, and so yeah, I don't have any inside knowledge of it. And I heard what you said, Rob, and you were spot on. This is a great kid, as those of us who've been around him for a while know, and easy to root for. And I mean, it was really tough to see. I didn't watch a lot of AAA games, but I saw his struggles so badly when he went down. It was clear he wasn't getting it together, you know, to come back, because fans were telling me, bring him back. And I'm like, he's hitting 150. You know, you got to hit a little something here to earn your way back. And for a while, I talked to Heston about his defense. He made a couple nice plays, but it just didn't take, you know, as the errors would come and misplays. And it's got to really be weighing on him and all he's been through. I mean, kid just deserves a good break somewhere.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. I always liked him. I liked the school he came from and just all of it. Anyway, see, I haven't spoken to you since the flurry of trades when they had all the names you know are gone. You follow the minor leagues more than anybody. How do you think they did with the prospects they got? I heard some of the Mets pitchers were supposed to be pretty good and things like that. But how do you think they did overall as far as, you know, in the trade balance, who won?
I mean, a lot of outlets who do this thing and who know some of these players better than I do have said they did fairly well. And time's going to tell on that, as we know, obviously. But I think the real strength of what they did was – adding 16 prospects, adding several ranked prospects, highly regarded. You lengthened the prospect pool. You strengthened your organizational depth. And people ask me, well, these players can't help next year. And most of them can't, except for the possibility of deals. They can help. And so when the World Series is over, you can trade, and you can trade not only draft picks you just added, but these players you just added. Or if you don't trade them, you've lengthened the pool of prospect capital that you have. You can trade other players, and your depth is still strong. So that's why you build up the farm. You just keep building and building and building. And as you guys know, if you've got 15 pitching prospects, get 25. That's better yet.
Right.
So whatever that number truly is for the Orioles, if we could get them on Truth Serum and say, how many studs in the minors do you really, really like pitching right now? It wouldn't be 15 probably, but let's say the number was 4, 5, 6. Well, now maybe it's 8, 9, 10. And it just, you know, you're just stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Molesky joins us. We'll talk about his Substack a little bit later. But, Steve, here's a team. We were asked a little bit earlier by a caller, Antonio, can this team contend next year? So I'll ask you the same question. Can this Orioles team contend in 2026?
Well, I think they can. Now, here's the Blue Jays last year, Rob, were the Orioles this year. They won 74 games, and now they're in first place. And they had a nucleus of a good talent then, and they still do now. And even some people they added, like Santander, are not contributing much, and they're still winning. The way the Orioles are going to do this is they still have the young core. We all know the names. And I think over the next couple of weeks, they're going to add Beavers and Basayo to that. Now, let's just say it's a big if, I know. But if those two young men look as good as we think they are, and they add them to the young nucleus, now go get some pitching, and then you can contend. And you can get pitching by paying for it or trading for it. Or, you know, those are the two main ways you're going to have to do it this winter. And then keep bringing along like these buoy pitchers I've told you guys about. They're maybe a year away, some of them. So I think there's some internal help coming, but not opening day 2026 probably, but not long after maybe. So that's like the two or three fold plan that they've got to execute to get back to winning.
You know, everybody's got their sights on Basayo. Guys like him, he's the number one person everyone seems to talk about. He's tearing up the baseball. However, talking to ex-major leaguers that we have on the show and asking about this, they all say to a person that the biggest gulf in the game is the pitching between AAA and the majors. How sure are we that he's going to just, you know, continue what he's doing in the minor leagues?
Ed, you are never sure. That's a great question. The word can't miss should never be used right in baseball because they all can miss. We've seen 1-1 picks miss. We've seen first-round picks miss. They all can miss. So we're not sure, but, you know, what else can he do? That's the only pitching he can hit right now.
Right.
And he's tearing it up. The exit velocities are great. He's a great kid, and I've interviewed him with interpreting help. And I'm telling you, when fans get to see him and hear from him and see that smile and he lights up the room, it's just electric. It's electric personality. Even you can know that even though we don't speak the same language. I don't, as he does. Beavers intrigues me because this guy can impact the game five tools. You know, he's a good defender with a plus arm, and he's a 60 runner. He's got 22 steals at AAA.
Wow.
People don't even talk about that. He's added the pop. It's been a two-year project. I talked to him at Bowie a couple times about developing pop and working on retooling his swing. And he's very cerebral, smart kid. Plays all out. So I think fans are going to love him too. And I mean, I really want to see what they can do. To me, that might be the biggest question for the remainder of the season when they get here. How good are they going to do? And I surely hope they get him out there every day so they get a nice evaluation. And if it's a positive evaluation, they might be starters on the opening day 2026.
Steve, tell us all about your Substack, my friend.
Well, speaking of those two guys, Basayo and Beavers, I wrote about them today, Rob, at steveonbaseball.substack.com. That's where people can find my work, daily stories, and my podcast drops on Thursdays. And the one that's dropping tomorrow is an interview with Trey Gibson. I think he might be the best pitching prospect right now in the Oriole organization. So I had a long interview with him, really good insight he provided. So it's all at steveonbaseball.substack.com.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot, my friend, for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right, 410-583-1057. That's the number of Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissioners Baltimore at 8:45 with Ed Norris, but on the other side, Harbaugh says none of the starters will play this week, but they could play in game two. Are you in support of a little bit of game time in the preseason? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the way it's going to be for this game. Yeah, we'll take the next game as we go.
That's John Harbaugh talking about his starters, how much they'll play. Not going to play in game one, possibly in game two. I'm okay with them not playing at all in the preseason.
I am too.
I think playing in the preseason for guys who already have established roles is the most overrated thing in football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, and you know, you're playing against guys who have nothing to lose, just trying to make their team, their respective teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do anything to make their teams. Those are the guys that can be really dangerous. So I am more than okay with them not playing.
Now, the Bengals starters are going to play at least the first quarter of the first preseason game. You know what that tells me?
They don't know what they're doing.
And it tells me don't do it. You don't do anything the Bengals do.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Whatever they do, go the other way.
The building is burning. You're running out. You know, I'm more inclined to run in if you're running out.
According to Zach Taylor, they want to try it because they've started so slow the last 4 years that they want to try to hit the ground running. I think they're 1-11 in the last 3 years in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Maybe it's you, Zach. Maybe it's not everybody else. You. Yes. Maybe it's you're not ready.
Yeah.
How about you change? So because we're not ready to start the season, I think the solution to that is let's play out guys in meaningless football games. Man, shut up. Joe, honestly, now take what he said and tell me how playing a quarter in the first preseason game is going to help that.
Well, to follow that up, he said that their second game, they'll play even more. In the third game, they probably won't play at all. If I'm Zach Taylor, I don't know. Maybe just try it because not doing it isn't working. So
the teams that beat you, did they play their people in preseason football?
That's a good question. I don't know that information.
I would love, like, do your opponents play preseason games? The ones that are beating you up early in the season? Because if not, then that might not be the answer. You know what I mean? Coaching, preparation. Maybe that's the answer. I just think it's dumb, man. I think you're going down the wrong path. I'd rather ask. I don't want to answer the question of why Joe Burrow's not starting game one, and the reason is because he got injured or tweaked something in preseason. Or why isn't Joe Burrow 100% to start game one? Because he tweaked something in preseason.
Why are you going to put him in?
It's dumb.
I'm serious. It's just, again, like, whatever they do, I'd go the other way. I'm not joking. It's like, why would they do that? Why would you put him in? Without him, you've got nothing. Nothing. You don't much anyway. You have no defense whatsoever. You need to score 41 points a game to win. So you're going to need him. Just stupid.
What about not just him?
Jamar Chase.
What about those guys as well? What about your offensive line that protects Joe Burrow? What about somebody on your defense that's already depleted?
Yeah.
Those guys, it just doesn't seem, you know, I don't want, hey, I love Lamar. I don't want to see him until after Labor Day.
Yes. Hey, listen, yesterday at practice, the pass protection was not good yesterday. And I would hold my breath every time Lamar was under pressure. Nobody hit him. They were smart. They were, you know, they played clean. But one bad move, one, you know, reckless player, you could have a problem. So I was concerned. It's, again, preseason. I could do without it.
Now, you know what else the Bengals aren't doing in the preseason? They're not having any joint practices. So when you can really control the environment and play your starters, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
But you'll put them out there in a preseason game where you can't really control that environment. It's, for those of you who play high school football, joint practices are like those controlled scrimmages you played in
high
school,
exactly,
right?
That's exactly what they are, yes.
You set up situations, you run the amount of plays that you predetermined, and you go for it. It's just like this. It's like those controlled scrimmages.
Yeah.
You want those. What you don't want is to go out there and have no control over what you're doing. No control. You don't have 100% control in the joint practice, but you have some. You got none in the preseason game other than just making the decision not to play your starters. I just don't like it. But I don't care because it's the Bengals. I just want to, you know, further the conversation on how stupid it is. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You're right, Ed, because the NFL would get rid of nothing totally that makes money for them. I agree with you on that part, but I don't think the preseason games are very necessary in the National Football League. Fly team in, have a couple of controlled joint practices, get ready for the year, and let's go. I think there's too much done. And I know fans, but Rob, fans get excited over preseason football. Okay, I grant that. I give you that. But I don't care. I want guys healthy. Fans are more excited when they start the season healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's – listen, there are reasons that they could use the work. Believe me, they could use more practice. They could use more joint practice. It used to be 2 days. Now it was the one. Because I'll be honest with you, there were some good throws yesterday. There were a lot of overthrows and underthrows. And, you know, timing wasn't there yet. I mean, mostly the backups. So Lamar had a couple of overthrows, but they were deep. They can still use to polish up a bit. So I get the need for preseason, but they don't need to play in those games. They just don't.
Yeah. Seriously. I don't, how much of this game tomorrow are you going to watch?
Very little, if any. I mean, I'll watch some, you know, because it's work.
For a job.
Yeah. Ordinarily, I wouldn't watch because I'd get nothing out of it. You got guys who aren't going to be playing mostly. You're gonna, you may see some rookies that you want to see. I assume they'll play. But for the most part, these guys aren't going to make the, you know, their respective teams.
Someone asked me the other day, where are you going to go to watch the game on Thursday? Huh? What? I'm going to watch it, but I'm not going anywhere to watch that.
No.
What do you mean? I don't really get kicked into football mode until Labor Day.
Yeah.
I tell you when I get kicked into football mode, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
It's around the same time. The first college football game, which this week year is going to be August 30th. Yeah. So it's right around Labor Day.
Yes.
August 30th, when they kick off, I believe that's the first game. That's when it's football season. And you know, the great thing about that, I think we'll be in San Fran with the Giants series then. But that's what I'm on. Isn't the first one? My buddy texted me the other day and asked me if I want to watch that game with him. I told him I'd be in San Fran. The first game is a big one. It's a doozy. First college football game. I can't.
It's a good one because they've been putting out some good ones to open the season in the last couple of years.
I'll figure it out. It takes too much time to look it up now. No, not Iowa State and Kansas State. Definitely not that, Joe. That wouldn't be for me a good one.
That's the first one of the year.
I know, but maybe not the first game, the actual game. That's on the 23rd. No, I'm not talking. Oh, that's week zero that you're talking about. I'm talking about
week zero.
Yeah, that's what they call it, week zero. Yeah. It's one on the 30th, Joe.
There's a ton on the 30th.
I believe.
Alabama, Florida State.
That's the one.
Yep.
That's the 30th?
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking about.
It's in Tallahassee.
Yeah. 3:30.
That's the one that stands out.
That's the one I'm talking about. Neither one of them, they don't have any rankings up there yet. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissions Baltimore at 8:45, but on the other side, ESPN takes control of the NFL Network and its properties, including Red Zone Channel. Will they ruin what is a great product already? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What's popping this morning at 8:31 in the a.m.? The NFL Network is now going to be property of ESPN, also the Red Zone Channel as well. And in your opinion, does this take away from a great product? Can they ruin this great product?
I know ruined, but I'm not happy about it. I don't know. I find it just kind of this whole thing with all these different platforms kind of gets on my nerves. But what are you?
See, this is why you can't ruin the product. The product is the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it a great product is only is that it's the NFL.
Yeah,
and that you have direct, like you say, access to the NFL. As long as they don't lose that, you can't ruin that product. Listen, the NFL has proven that you can't ruin the NFL because they've done everything to try to. They put games on foreign soil way too much. They put games in days that you shouldn't have games. They change rules every year. They've made every attempt to ruin the NFL itself. The NFL has done that. And they've proven over and over that you can't ruin it. I don't think ESPN can ruin the NFL Network. How do they ruin the NFL Red Zone Channel? No. By not having the games.
Yeah.
Right. As long as you go to game the game, you can't ruin that.
Some people are worried about ads for Red Zone.
Why?
Because it doesn't have ads. And they say, well, ESPN/Disney is going to ruin it with ads.
Hmm. But isn't that a paid subscription? NFL's Red Zone channel is a paid subscription.
So
that
Netflix,
alone makes
so
it.
Netflix, I have ads.
You can get it without ads.
People are still upset.
You can pay more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get, you, yeah, man.
But you got to pay like three times as much.
I don't think you can ruin the NFL Network or the NFL Red Zone channel. I just don't. It's the NFL.
Well, that's the problem. The product is in such demand.
Yes.
That you can do whatever you want. But I tell you, I still get mad when, you know, I'll watch it on Prime or whatever, and I've had so much trouble with that platform. And so has Vinny. I know you guys haven't, but it would stop. The sound would go out. It would be on a, would be delayed. And it was problem after problem after problem. And Serato had the same issues I did. I was like, this sucks. I'm paying for this. And I can't even watch the game because you know, it's not, there was no natural flow to it. The sound was going out. It was just annoying as hell. I was like, I don't know. And people, I just feel like people shouldn't have to pay for all these different platforms. Apple TV, Prime, ESPN. I don't really joke about it. Like, but there's a lot of people on very little income. And that's their source of entertainment. They can't afford to, you know, they can't afford $300 for a football ticket, but they can watch it on television. And now they can't even watch it on television. I feel bad for a lot of folks.
You have to pay for, well, Prime is something that you have if you have Amazon Prime. So I'll put that aside. You're paying for Prime whether you're watching the game or not, whether the game's on.
Yes.
So I'll put that aside. The other network, ESPN, comes with a sports package. That's been forever that it's come with a sports package. You have to pay for that. What else do we have? Is it Netflix? Do they have games now? Who else has games? Netflix, right?
Apple Prime.
Apple has football games?
Yeah.
I know they had baseball. I know they had football.
I'm pretty sure they had football last year, like one game or two.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of them now. I mean, I'm going through my head here. Who has it?
But you still have the games every week on CBS and NBC, though. You still have those games. Yeah, you have extra games, mm-hmm. but you still have those games as well. I like the fact that ESPN is taking it over. Because when I'm watching the NFL Network, I see times where they're getting lazy in the production. They're getting lazy in some things because it seems to me that the NFL itself got a little tired of being in the business of TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the NFL wants to be in the business of TV. I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL created the NFL Network for this very day. They're selling it for $1 billion. I'm all right with this. I think this is a great move. ESPN, regardless of what you say, yes, they have a bunch of screamers on there to do these shows in the daytime, but when it's time to do sports, they do sports well. No one does sports better than ESPN.
That's what they do. Yeah.
No one does it. So mm-hmm. you're adding America's pastime of football, as America's favorite game, I should say, of football, and you're giving it to a network that does sports better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Winner. Let's go to Baltimore and get Gio. What's up, Gio? Gio.
Hey, what's up, Rob?
What's
hey,
going on?
What's happening?
And you were out. You were out, but you're back when I called in about the paid program. Remember, Rob? The
no.
Apple TV. You don't have to pay for it, man. It's free.
What?
He's thought about the illegal TV.
Oh, the broke sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah, we know about that. But, yeah. You know, some people aren't willing to do that. You know? I mean, it's actually contractually we can't do it. You know, I'm not saying that people don't do it, but mm-hmm. contractually we're not supposed to do that either. But yeah, there are ways where you can go around it and get these things for free. ESPN acquired NFL Network, other NFL media assets in exchange for 10% equity stake in ESPN. So the NFL Network is getting 10% equity stake in ESPN. That is tremendous. But I think the real question is this. We're asking the NFL, okay, the ESPN kill that product. How about the NFL being in bed directly with a network now? They're going to get 10% of the equity stake with ESPN. Yeah. Is that a
That's
problem?
Enormous.
Is that a problem, though?
I don't know.
If you're NBC and CBS, yeah. and you're like, well, you're getting 10% of the equity stake of this network, do they get more than we get?
No.
Because all the things are all packaged. You're getting 10% equity stake in ESPN. That means you benefit when it means more or worth more for ESPN. So if I'm CBS and NBC, I'm thinking, well, what does that mean for us?
Yeah.
Do I look down the road for this next TV deal, and does ESPN now have exclusive rights to the NFL? You think ESPN got in bed and did this deal with the NFL without something down the road? I see a day where ESPN is now going to have probably close to exclusive rights to the NFL and put it all over their networks. That's what I'm looking at. So I'm not really looking at the product of the NFL network being ruined. I'm looking at maybe a partnership between the NFL and ESPN that's unprecedented for any sport.
Could be. I don't know if they get such a big equity stake.
Yeah.
That's big. No, that's a lot of money.
So what does that mean? That means the more valuable...
Yeah, the bigger stake, the biggest slice of the pie they get.
So if you're CBS and NBC, you're not worried about this? I'm worried about this. That's the thing that gets my attention.
Yeah, I guess I would if I was them, yeah.
Yeah. Because I want, if I'm getting 10%, man, I want ESPN to make a boatload of money. More money for me. And ESPN has a lot of platforms where they could just gobble the NFL up. So that to me is the bigger threat. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Ja'Marr Chase, in comparing his quarterback to Josh Allen, said something that maybe he didn't mean to say. We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock. But on the other side is Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a quick recap of what I saw at training camp yesterday. I think people might want to hear about that. They had some, you know, running with security. It was a big kerfuffle at the end of practice. Just some interesting stuff yesterday. And so we'll talk about that a bit. And then we'll see what Vinny saw, because he'll be coming at 9:30 into the studio with us to talk about his take on the same thing.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, I feel like he has it all. The timing, the accuracy, the placement, the speed, the awareness, field recognition. I mean, what else? He audibles in the backfield.
Well, I get this idea.
When you turn
on
Joe's tape, it's different from Josh Allen's tape. Completely different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So people game plan against Josh Allen, not against Joe Burrow. They play against his game weapons. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference.
Ja'Marr Chase, you screwed up. You screwed up, in my opinion. Because you said something that I believe is true, but you worded it in a way that I don't know if people understand what you're really saying.
Definitely not. Because I heard criticism of him on the way in. the overnight show was talking about it. It sounds like you're insulting your own quarterback.
That's why I say he screwed up. Because
yeah.
When I first heard it, I didn't interpret the way that the critics interpreted it. When I interpreted it, it's as you may as well game plan for the weapons around Joe Burrow, because you're not going to stop Joe Burrow. That's honestly, when I first heard him say it, that's how I heard it. And then when others started criticizing about it, I thought, oh, okay, well, there's that. I do. I get the criticism. I honestly think, just the way Ja'Marr Chase is, we're not talking about Tyreek Hill. He's not Tyreek Hill, someone who's going to dump on his own team.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not that guy. I just think he had an intent on something that he worded wrong. I think if he could take that back.
I'm sure he worded it wrong. There's no doubt in my mind. They're close. I mean,
yeah.
You saw that in that special where the families are close, they hang out together. I know he didn't mean it that way, but when you hear it in the same context with Josh Allen, saying, you know, teams have the game plan for Josh Allen. No, they don't game plan for Joe Burrow. Of course they do. He's one of the best. He's the top five quarterback in the league. Well, of course they do. But I get he couldn't have possibly meant it that way.
No.
But that's what he said.
When I heard it, it was, to me, this is what I heard.
Yeah.
That you may as well game plan for Joe Burrow's weapons, because you're not going to stop Joe Burrow.
Yep.
When you're game planning for the Bills, you want to stop Josh Allen, because there's no need to stop his weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That again, I'm not... This is not one of those things where I'm saying, oh, man, people are making a mountain out of a molehill. No, I don't think people are making a mountain. I think it's what is that old phrase we used to use? Lost in translation.
Yeah.
I think that's what that is. I think this is all lost in translation. I do. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is the type of person that's going to throw that kind of shade on his quarterback. I think he's probably having a conversation afterwards to Joe Burrow. Like, Joe, you know, I didn't mean that. I think because of their relationship,
yeah, it's almost I'm sure they're fine.
It's almost as if someone asked you something about me in the media. You said something that was misinterpreted, mm-hmm. and then you came back to me and said, yeah. You know that's not how I mean it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got enough history with you to know yeah. you did mean it that way, you son of a bitch, but we're still going to be cool.
Yeah. I mean, he knows that. I mean, it just... But it sounded like that.
It did.
But I think what he meant, like Josh Allen, he's a different quarterback too because he can run. So you do have to account for him where you don't have to account for Burrow, like, you know, running over your safeties, you know, and you know, gaining first down after first down with his legs. So it's a little different. But I'm sure he didn't mean that you don't have the game plan with Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow's the guy also, though. You can sack 10 times in the game. He's still bouncing
right
you.
Up. Absolutely.
He will shred you. Mm-hmm. He will dice you up.
Yeah.
He will make life... You know, on those other 40 attempts, he'll make life difficult for you.
Yeah. He's in the news again. He's over there. If you're on ESPN. Is it a good idea for Joe Burrow to play during the preseason?
No.
No, it's not. Does he need it? Really? You think he forgot how to play quarterback?
Hasn't the season been shortened twice with injuries?
It's not, yes. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Again, they do everything wrong. So
now I know Buffalo Zoe is listening. Because the social media world, Buffalo Bills fans, Joe, were saying, yeah, that's what we've been telling you forever. That's what we've always said. When you play against our quarterback, you game plan for him because he's the better quarterback. And I think that's what really made it bad. The fact that it added to the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to, well, they don't game plan for our guy. Nah. Their guy, yeah. Our guy, no. Yeah, no, that's not what they meant.
He's only been to the Super Bowl. He's only outdueled. He's the Mahomes. Only AFC quarterback to outduel Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that the only team to get to the Super Bowl other than Mahomes? Or Patriots his first year? Mahomes his first year.
The Bengals, the only team that's beaten him.
Yeah, well, the Patriots in his first year. Right. But that was, did we count that as Tom Brady? Once they got rolling.
Right.
Once they got rolling, they were the only team to beat him. Tom mm-hmm. Brady beat everybody.
He did. He really did.
He beat him twice.
Yeah.
Beat him to get to the Super Bowl and then beat him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's true, right?
If you're Patrick Mahomes, you got to hate him. You got to hate Tom Brady. He stopped me from getting it and he stopped me from winning it.
He stopped. They got trounced. They didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Oh. So, in your opinion, Ed, Burrow, Allen.
If I wanted a quarterback, I mean, mm-hmm. Allen. Mm-hmm. I know you like Burrow better, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
Nah, bro. Joe Burrow.
I was the MVP last year.
I don't care.
I wasted that. Jeremy's not here.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for me. That does nothing to me. Yeah, he sure was.
Yeah, wasted that.
Because if Lamar would have won the MVP, then I'd have been complaining. He has three MVPs and no Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
That's my complaint. Remember, I was the one down the stretch when everyone was talking about this MVP race. I'm like, did we not forget what the assignment was? I thought mm-hmm. the assignment was to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't care about him winning another MVP. I don't give you nothing to win another MVP. Win a Super Bowl. You got two. We're good. You got more than most. But I'm taking Joe Burrow any day of the week. The only one I'm taking ahead of Joe Burrow is Lamar Jackson. I'm taking Joe Burrow after that. That guy is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. He is. This is a great generation of quarterbacks.
It is.
It really is.
I mean, we got them in all types and sizes now. Remember, they all mm-hmm. used to look the same, play the same style. Now, man, I've said it before, this is the most diversity we've seen at quarterback. And when I say that, people think I'm just talking race. Yeah, it's that too. But I'm talking styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the most diversity in styles of quarterbacks that I've ever seen in a national football. It's like college football. When you had so many different styles of quarterbacks in college football, it's now like that in the NFL. If you can play quarterback, you can play quarterback. Commissioners Baltimore up next on The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.